Are you running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys. My name's Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
Wednesday afternoon, 12:30, Kev. Time to head to the phones and give us a call, 395-1450. Phone lines are open, and we'll be taking your calls onto the air here. And we love hearing from you guys.
That's right.
The different problems or questions. Some of them are... You know, there's always something new, seems like, every week. You never know what to expect. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, 395-1450. But, you know, we do have some that are phone shy.
Yep, and for them, you can always send us an email. It's computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show today as well as throughout the week. So if you are phone shy, there's nothing wrong with that. Send us an email. Again, it's computerguys@whtc.com, and we'll do our best to get to it on the show.
And if you listen to our podcast.
Yeah. If you listen to our podcast, you can send us an email.
Well, and no, I was going to say last week.
If you want to listen to our podcast. Oh.
Last week we had a complaint about the paid subscription.
Oh, right, right. We took care of that. So whoever Did that we? Was who sent that, yeah, we took okay. care of that. So what that actually was, I don't know if it was a paid subscription issue. It the amount of people who listen to our podcast exceeded what we were allocated from the place who hosts our podcast. And so basically they just kind of cap it. And say, you've had enough people listening to your podcast for what you're paying us right now. So if you want to get more access to your podcast, you have to pay us more.
In other words, too many people are listening.
Too many people are listening. So we bumped it up so we can have a lot more people listening. Shouldn't have any other problems. If you do, let us know and we'll fix it.
In addition to your phone calls, which hopefully we'll get at least a couple today, 395-1450, we've always got, I could probably take all day and talk about computers, Kev. But they only give us a half hour, so we'll fit what we can into the next 25 minutes or so here.
We will give you the top stories, news issues, et cetera.
One of the most important things that I'd like to talk about today, Kev, iTunes on OS X finally has some competition.
Oh, really?
And, of course, we will talk about that. Interesting story. But first of all, let's go ahead and take this call. Good afternoon, call. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yes. I'm really pretty much computer illiterate to start out with.
Sure, no problem.
I have tried to download one of the free versions of Acrobat Adobe, and for some reason, once I try to open up a PDF file, it comes up and just gives me that gray screen, you know, inside of Acrobat and says, you know, yeah, something about not downloaded everything or whatever. Can you help me out with that?
What are you running, Windows XP or Windows Vista?
Vista, yeah.
Vista, okay. So your computer's pretty new then?
Yep, bought it last year.
Okay. The first thing I'd probably try is to uninstall Adobe Acrobat completely from your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you can do that is to click on the little Windows button in the lower left-hand corner and go to the control panel.
Okay.
And in the control panel, what you're going to want to look for is something that says Programs and Features.
Okay.
And in that, you're going to find, it basically, once you open up Programs and Features, it'll open up a little window that has all the programs that are installed on your computer. And you should be able to find Adobe Reader listed in there somewhere.
Okay.
And what you do is then select that, and up at the top, when it's selected, you can click on Uninstall.
All right, yes.
It'll take you through the whole process of removing Adobe. Then when that's done, go ahead and restart your computer and then go to Adobe's website for the free Adobe Reader download.
Mm-hmm.
Or just do a search on Google for Adobe Reader.
Yeah, but if you go to Adobe.com, right on their front page, there's a couple buttons, and one of them says, Get Adobe Reader. You click on that, and it'll walk you through the process.
Okay.
And there's a good chance, and then once you do that, actually open up Adobe one time from, it usually puts an icon on the desktop and it'll ask you to agree to their little license agreement.
Yeah.
Just hit agree and then it should open. And then go and try to open up one of those Adobe files. And if it doesn't work, well, give us a call back and let us know. But
okay.
There's most of the time, and this is not an uncommon problem, just removing the program and then reinstalling it fixes quite a few of these issues. So One of the other things you can do is, are these Adobe files that are being emailed to you or that you're getting from websites?
Emailed to me.
What you could do is, instead of trying to double-click on the icon, do you know how to save it to your documents or to the desktop?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. Yep, I've done that with other things.
Sure, so. Just like you would do with a photo or something. And you can try saving that to your desktop or to your documents folder, and then go in there and try to open it by double-clicking on it that way.
Okay.
Sometimes the link between the email program and the Adobe Reader can have some problems, but if you save it as a file to the documents or desktop and then try to open it, hopefully that'll take care of the problem for you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure. Let us know if that doesn't work.
Okay.
I had the similar problem, Kev, a couple weeks ago. This is a pretty random one. I'm also running Windows Vista. Flash stopped working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to YouTube and it uses Flash.
Yep.
So it said, your browser is using an out-of-date Flash player. I thought, oh, well, okay, that's easy. So it says, click here to install the update. And I did that. It didn't work. Thought, well, that's odd. Well, they're in Vista, you can't actually uninstall Flash. Mm-hmm. It's part of Internet Explorer for the add-ons.
Sure.
So I had to go through there, remove it, restart the computer, and then install it again.
Okay.
But pretty random, huh?
Yeah, I've seen it too, where, like you mentioned, after installing, going and opening the program and making sure that you agree to the license agreement, because I've seen it before where you try and open documents, and if you haven't agreed to that license agreement already, all kinds of random stuff happens. The program doesn't fully open. That actually might be what's going on in this case. So good to keep that information there. Open up the program one time without opening a document, just going and clicking on the icon itself, either from the start menu or on the desktop, and agreeing to that license agreement.
Thanks for the call there, caller. Give us a call if you have any questions. 395-1450. The phone lines are open here. Kev, okay, back. iTunes OS 10 finally has competition. This is from an article on Slashdot. The truth is, iTunes is an average music player, though the user interface is simple. And we will get back to this question in just a second here.
Never going to let us finish that question.
It's
that's
the suspense.
Right.
Well, we got another call here. Good afternoon, Carl. You're on with the computer guys.
Well, here's a question for you.
Sure.
You know, a little while back, I noticed that my laptop had been graciously updated by Microsoft. You know, I'm running, what am I running? I can't remember what version I'm running. But anyway, I had a service pack update. And the problem is, after that service pack update, I'll be online, but if I leave it for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, then I cannot connect and I have to reboot the entire laptop in order to get back online. Why is that? Where's a setting where I can fix that, and what's going on?
Well, that's a good question. And you know, since Vista came out, this has been probably the biggest complaint, at least Kevin and I have had about Vista, is the
is this Vista? Is it running Vista?
Oh no, it's XP.
Okay. Sorry, I thought you said Vista. No, it's anyway on Vista for us. Vista's had this problem with networking, where joining wireless networks takes a long time, or even networks that you plug into. If this is an XP problem, so you probably upgraded to Service Pack 3 then?
That's correct.
Okay. And now when you put it into standby or sleep, it just doesn't reconnect unless you reboot.
I don't even have to go into standby or anything like that. I can just walk away for maybe 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I come back, nowhere to go.
And it does it when it's on, you said it's a laptop, is that correct?
That's right, yep.
On battery and when it's plugged in, or just
either,
when?
Either way.
Either way. Well, one thing I would check that's quite common, and now are you plugged in or is this using a wireless connection?
This is a wireless connection.
Okay. One thing to check, if you go into your control panel, into the networking section, you will see a couple of icons for the various network cards that are in your computer, one for the wireless, one for the wired. And then if you right-click on that and go to Properties.
For the wireless.
Yep, for the wireless card that you're using, it'll bring up a little tab with a bunch of settings on it. Now, in there, all the way on the right, there's going to be a tab, and it's going to be called... Oh, actually, no, sorry, you're going to... Yeah, you're not in front of the computer, are you?
Well, I'm not on my laptop. Oh, okay. I'm actually on my desktop now, kind of following along.
If you do that, at the top, it'll say the network card name, and then it'll have a little button that says configure.
Okay.
If you hit that button, it's going to pop up some specifics about your network card, and one of those tabs is going to be called power management.
Oh, okay.
If you go, there's probably a box that says allowed his computer to turn off the device to save power, and it'll probably be checked. You want to uncheck that box and then hit OK and back out of all those menus you've gone into.
Oh, okay.
The reason is what'll happen sometimes is if it picks up that you're not using it, it'll turn that card off to save power. Well, sometimes it doesn't turn back on like it's supposed to, and the only way that you would get it to do that is either if you disable and re-enable the connection or you restart your computer, and then it'll be fine while you're using it until it sits idle again. So I would say disable that, hit OK, and see if that does not fix your problem.
Sure.
And just one more time, Kev, to get there, you go to the control panel.
Yep, into the network connections, and then you'll see your various network cards listed there. One will be wireless, one will be the local area connection. You right-click on that, go to properties, and then up at the top, once you've done that, you'll see the network card name listed, and there'll be a configure button. Click that button, and then it'll pop up another menu, and on the top, there'll be some tabs, and the tab is called Power Management.
Sure.
Okay?
Good. Give that a shot.
All right. That should take care of it.
Thanks. Cool. Bye.
Hey, thanks for your call.
And I've also seen it too, Kev, where sometimes you just have to reinstall the software for the wireless card.
That
happens.
Who knows?
Maybe there's... Microsoft comes out with an update. Maybe there's something in there that's causing problems with your particular wireless card. If you've got a Dell computer, you can go to Dell's website to get the newest software for that wireless card. Yep. HP, same thing.
Yep. So if that doesn't work, yeah, I'd definitely try and get the newest driver for your network card. Service Pack 3, while it is a major update, you don't see a lot of what it changes, but it is a fairly major update. And as such, generally the bigger the update, the more potential there is for causing little issues like this. Nothing insurmountable, nothing huge, but sometimes they do need to be addressed.
In addition to wireless cards not coming back to life after turning the power off, I'll also see that a lot of times on laptops with the hardwired-in card, the network.
Yep, either one of those. And it's all in an effort to save electricity. That's why they've even built this. So if your computer's not using it, it'll just kind of turn that off and save a little bit of electricity. More important when it's on battery, but also, it tries to do it when it's plugged in, too.
Give us a call here, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys. Speaking of electricity, Kev, you got an awesome little tool at our office called the Kilowatt.
I know you enjoy that thing. You
love
it.
And that thing is awesome. As much as afraid as I am of electricity, that thing is awesome.
Can't help but use it. Yeah, it's a pretty cool little meter. Basically, what you do is you plug it into the wall, turn it on, and then plug your device in. And it'll measure sort of the signal of the amount of, voltage and the cleanliness of the power that's coming in. But then it also measures how much electricity that device that it's plugged into is using.
Yep.
So if it's a fridge, it uses X amount when it's running and when it's not. And amazing thing to find out, I was playing around with it with our fridge at the office. The electricity amount doubles when you open the door because the light bulb goes on.
Huh.
It uses like as much by powering that light bulb as the whole fridge does while it's running.
Wow, that's amazing.
So just some pretty amazing things to see what's using energy. Other stories of people using this say they found out, their TV, they had a big TV, used 250 watts when it was on, going full bore. But when they turned it off, it was still using 150.
Amazing.
So there is a lot out there to be looked at with this. And we're using this as an effort to sort of help people green up their computers and find ways to save power. So
it's amazing how much less power laptops use than desktops.
That's true, even under full load.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yeah. Hi, I listen a lot, but I don't really know too much about computers. My son has one here at the house when he used to live here, and I've been calling around trying to find some places to take some computer classes because... Unfortunately, your own kids aren't really too too good at it. They know too much about it, and yep. I wouldn't say it gets personal, but anyway, it kind of does get personal. So anyway, I called up the library, and they have classes, and that sounds like a good idea. But anyway, I called up Evergreen Commons, and I was talking to the lady there, and she asked me what kind of software, whatever it is, the program on there.
Yep.
And concerning the fact I don't know anything about computers, I do know that it's Windows Vista. And the lady says, oh, well, that's a pain in the asses. And I says, well, I didn't know, but I started thinking about if the software, I don't know what do you call it, the program that's on there, if that's not really a good one for people that are just starting out to work on, is that a good idea? Or what do you think about it? I don't think you can just flip it out and change it. So anyway, sure. I'd like to hear what you say. So I'll go and listen to the radio.
Thank you. Well, yeah, thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate that. Actually, we get quite a few questions, Kev, about where do I go for computer classes? And the two recommendations are exactly where the caller has gone, the library and Evergreen Commons. Those are two of the places we recommend.
Yeah.
As far as Vista being a problem or a tough computer to learn for your first time, it has gotten a lot of negative press since it came out. I would say more than it deserves.
I would agree.
If you've never used a computer before, or if you just feel like you'd like to learn more, it is very similar to Windows XP. I mean, the basics are still very similar. Just to throw out there, the reasons that Vista had the perceived problems or the big negativity toward it, people had old hardware that didn't work with it.
Yeah, I bought this printer 5 years ago. You know, I paid $200 for it.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
So that's one of the reasons, you know, and so they when they bought their new computer, it just didn't support that old hardware. Same thing with software.
One thing to note regarding that hardware, it's not the job of the operating system manufacturer, Microsoft, to make that work. It's the job of the manufacturer of the piece of hardware to make it work,
yep,
to support it by releasing a new driver. So the person you bought, you know, if it's an Epson scanner, Epson hasn't put forth the effort to create a driver to make it work.
Yep.
You know, again, that's people
but
don't
again,
understand
same thing
that
with the second reason, yeah, which is software. And there's maybe some old software that you had that maybe it doesn't work or doesn't quite work like you want it to on Vista. So those were two of the reasons. And the biggest reason that there was a lot of negativity toward Vista was because when it first came out, people sold cheap computers that really could not handle it.
Or they'd put a little sticker on that said Windows Vista compatible,
yep,
on a computer that probably should not ever run Windows Vista.
And so they got the computer, and it was slow, and Vista was slow, and it just was not a very good computer experience. So those were the biggest reasons. As far as will this computer work for you for learning, I think absolutely it would.
Yep, I don't think there's any reason you have to change things. I think it's great that you're learning on Vista if this is a first-time thing. Because the reality is, going forward, things are going to look more like Vista than they are like previous versions of Windows.
Yep. So as long as your computer is not extremely slow, because if it is slow and it's not running Vista well, then you're absolutely right. No, it will be a pain to use that one.
Yep. And that's not maybe getting rid of Vista. That's maybe getting, you know, a little more memory in the computer or something else to help it run better.
I like to say it's kind of like having a full-size pickup truck with a four-cylinder engine on some of those slower computers. And we've seen them. Man, I can't believe they sold some computers that when they first came out with 512 megs of RAM in Vista.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and a slow processor. A slow budget processor.
I would hate Vista too. Yeah. I would hate it. So, as long as it's running fast enough, I would say absolutely. It does a great job. We've have probably, what, half of our computers at our office running Vista?
No, more
half
than
on
that.
XP?
60-40.
Okay, 60-40.
Yep.
At home, I run Vista. Kev?
I run Vista.
Yep. So nothing to be afraid of unless you've got a slow computer.
Yes.
All right. Let's try this one more time here.
Okay, here we go.
iTunes and OS X finally had some competition. The truth is, iTunes is an average music player. Though the user interface is simple and good like most Apple products, it has lagged in features compared to music players available on Linux and Windows. A feature as basic as monitoring a folder and adding the latest music files to libraries unavailable in iTunes. There are no plugins or themes. Despite the many faults, many of us continued to use iTunes because of the lack of options available. But this is from last week, the wait is finally over. Not one, but two music players have become credible contenders. Songbird is an open source music player, which has been in the works for more than 2 years and has finally been released. Its 1.0 release is finally out. The other option is Amarok, and that is more of a popular player among Linux users.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's one of the things is Apple puts out some pretty good products, you know. I mean, they've developed iTunes to work the way that they think it should.
Yep.
And if you want to use it that way, it's going to work great for you, and you're going to really like it.
Yep. But don't step outside the bounds of what the program's designed to do, because it's not designed for that, and it's not designed to be expanded or improved beyond what they think it should do.
So you know, if you're looking,
there's positives and negatives to that.
So if you're looking for some options and, from iTunes and you're using an Apple, Songbird or Amarok, Amarok. Those are two options out there. So it's something to throw out there. And I don't say that to bash Apple by any means. I'm just saying it's It's kind of funny. It's like Windows 10, 15 years ago.
I'm looking at a screenshot of Songbird. It actually looks quite a bit like iTunes.
Does it?
Yeah. You can go to getsongbird.com if you're interested.
All right, Kev. Well, let's go ahead and continue here. Another phone call. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, I just tuned in, and I don't know if you already covered this, but has anybody called in about a certain virus as though it's sent from the United States Postal Service saying we were not able to deliver your package that you sent on October 19 because the recipient's address is not correct. Please print out the invoice copy attached and collect the package at our office. If you do not receive the package in 10 days, you'll have to pay $6 a day.
No, we haven't got any calls on that today, but, you know, I got one of those same emails just a couple days ago.
Okay.
So it's just a spam message that they're probably sending. It probably contains a virus if there's an attachment on there.
Yeah, right. And they even have a tracking number, about 10 digits, so it looks very official. But just want you to know about that.
One thing to look at, does it actually come from the Postal Service? If you have an email program that kind of shows you the actual address that it's being sent from, did you happen to look and see if it is a U.S. Postal Service address?
You know, now that I take a second look at it, it says UPS, you know, mail support, but then the in the brackets it gives an email address that is different.
And it's not USPS.com or it's some crazy,
right.
That's one of the easy ways of telling if it's legitimate or not. Not that that's the only method you should use, but if you look quickly and it's coming from some random address, rest assured it's not the real deal.
And what about if you get something that's coming to you from yourself, you know, it'll have your own.
Did you send yourself a message?
Those are frustrating, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's the good chance that that's not from you either.
All right.
So
delete those, right?
Yeah, delete them right away. Don't open any attachments, especially if they have any included with them.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your call.
Bye.
And that's just a good word, a little warning to listeners out there. And it's just, you know, if you haven't shipped any packages recently. I get a lot of those from FedEx or UPS, allegedly. They're not from FedEx or UPS. But.
You know, it's like, it's junk mail, okay? It is what it is. Now, the only problem with this is, if you open a letter, a piece of junk mail, some advertisement for something, it doesn't, like, punch you in the face.
You mean at your house, in the actual mail.
Let's say you open up an envelope. It doesn't, like, do you damage, but in the electronic version, it can. It's not fair.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
It is the way it is.
Let's go ahead and take another call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hi, the lady that just called about the message from the United Parcel Service.
Yep.
Or United Postal Service, whatever. That is a scam.
Yep.
I know somebody else that had it too, and the ironic part was that they had sent a package out just a few days before.
Oh, no.
So did they open it?
No.
Oh,
but they were trying to figure it out. Well, I think maybe they did. I don't know. It was at the office, and I know they did a lot of finagling back and forth to get rid of it, but it is just a scam, so. Just for her info.
Yeah. Right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And they're tricky, aren't they? I mean, they make it look official. So, yep, definitely a lot of scams going around in email. I win a lot of lotteries of other countries quite often.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Computer guys win certain things. We had, we get a lot of spam here as well. So, let's, Kev, a few weeks, I guess, you know, time goes fast. Let's just say, a few months ago, we had talked about a pocket-sized projector.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that? We talked about that. I don't remember who the manufacturer was.
You were going to buy me one. I think everybody else listening remembers that you said you were going to buy me one.
You know, I might have said that. I've said a lot of crazy things in my day, Kev.
Maybe it's time to follow through on your promises.
Well, this is the New York Times has reviewed the Pico, which is a pocket projector from Optima. And it's pretty awesome, pretty small. But first, let's just take another call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yes, I signed up for an online survey to participate each month. But then it seems like when I do participate, after I open their email, that my computer will not let me see a web page shortly thereafter. And I wonder, does that have anything to do with it, or...
Now, are these, you said it's surveys that come to you in an email?
Right. It's a knowledgenetworks.com is what it is.
Okay. And that's a legitimate, I've never heard of that one before, so I'm not familiar with that. That is a legitimate one that you actually want to take part in then?
Yes. I've tried to find out if it is legitimate, but everything seems like it's okay, but I haven't been able to really come up with anything bad about it, but. And it seems like after I do the survey or open an email from them, that the computer screws up right after that.
Well, that's interesting. How old is the computer that you're using?
Oh, maybe 8 or 9 years.
8 or 9 years.
Uh-huh.
It could be, if it's that old of a computer, maybe they're taking you. Now, does it take you to a website?
Actually, I think it's about 6 years, 2003.
Okay. That's not terrible then. I was just going to say it might be that, you know, if it's that old, maybe it's taking to a website that your computer has to load up.
Oh, okay.
Some type of a program, and maybe it's slow afterwards because of that. Sometimes it'll be, for instance, there are certain websites you have to go to that require Java, and it takes your computer a minute or so to open up. It doesn't necessarily slow down when it's done. So if you restart,
but any cookies they would put on there wouldn't.
Well, cookies wouldn't slow your computer down, but have you noticed any strange pop-ups on the computer at all? Or
no, not really that.
Okay. Do you have an up-to-date antivirus program?
Yes.
You do. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it works fine after you restart it, huh?
Yeah.
One thing that I don't know what version, what do you use to check your email?
AOL.
AOL?
Or really Internet Explorer.
Internet Explorer. Do you have the newest version of Internet Explorer?
I'm not sure.
You might want to try and get the newest version. Sometimes if you're running an older version, it won't display things properly, and it may not close out properly at the completion of your survey.
Okay.
So one thing you can do is go to the Microsoft Update website, which from the Tools menu inside of Internet Explorer, you can go to Windows Update, and it'll take you right to their website. And if there's a new version out there or any updates for Internet Explorer, I would say go ahead and get those and try that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for your call.
And yep, those are free updates from Microsoft, so it's not a problem installing those. It's a good idea. And a lot of times it'll show up in the lower right-hand corner as a little yellow exclamation point.
Yep, and some people have been hesitant to install Internet Explorer 7, but it's probably about time to start thinking about doing that as well if you've been resisting. So the music means it's the end of another show. If you weren't able to tune in today, you can always check out the podcast. The easiest way is to type WHTC into the Apple iTunes Music Store, and you can download our podcast anytime. If we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's right near the corner of 31 and 32nd.
That's right. Well, thanks again, and we'll be back next week.